Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about a time to run. A time to run. We're going to be taking communion over some passages of scripture today, talking about running, running with perseverance, running with purpose, running and staying on track, running and not growing weary, because we just passed Easter. Easter was yesterday, and I'm just reminded always with the story of Easter. It says, when Peter and John heard that Jesus was raised from the dead, when they heard that he was alive, it says they ran to the tomb. They ran to the tomb. I always think of these days right now. Yesterday, in the Jewish culture, they start counting. They start counting 50 days until the day of Pentecost. This is the time when Jesus came back and began to appear to the disciples. He began to teach them about the kingdom of God. This is a time to run. This is time to run like little kids with childlike faith. Little kids with childlike faith. And this is a time where God often really begins to accelerate things. It's a time where God begins to accelerate things. We're going to be taking communion, asking for his help to get this right today. But why are we taking communion every day? About 10 years ago, I was reading in the book of Proverbs just one morning, and it seemed like Proverbs 13:22 just seemed to jump off the page at me. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that verse got me thinking, what's the most valuable thing that we can pass on to future generations? And after some time of thinking about it and meditating on it, I came to the conclusion the most valuable thing we can pass on would be wisdom or teaching or training for how to truly live, how to walk out this life God has given us. And so I made a commitment that day. I'm going to create lessons and teachings and system, a program that teaches my kids lessons and systems for every area of life. For every area of life. But when I first got started, I had no clue where to start. I was running my personal training gym business, and life was just kind of all over the place. My business was very up and down. I needed some help in my own life. My life was way out of balance. I pretty much had no spiritual life when I first got started with God. But he was so faithful. He just began to show up and to teach me and to train me. And over the course of about 10 years now, it's turned into this whole program with books and courses and partners that we call the Abundant Life Blueprint. And out of everything we do in the Abundant Life Blueprint, the most important thing that we do is daily communion. Daily communion is what I call the table turner, the number one table turner for all of life. It turns the tables. Anytime life feels like it's going the wrong direction, things are coming at us, it turns the tables. Something simple and easy that we can do. It helps us to abide in Christ, to turn the tables, and it changes the trajectory of our entire life. Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. It's this opportunity to stir his sacrifice into our mind and remembrance and make it active and relevant and alive right now in this present moment today. The Apostle Paul says, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which in the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until you prove the death. So in a way, communion is like an activation of all these benefits that are found in the new covenant. And it's this opportunity to combine the spiritual principles of the sacrifice of Jesus, to pull that into our mind and remembrance and combine it with something practical and physical that we can release our faith into. It unites our entire spirit, soul, and physical body together. But it's also important we take it the right way. Every time we take communion, to take it with the fear of the Lord, with deep honor and reverence and respect and appreciation for the sacrifice of Jesus, all that he went through. Think about two sides of the cross. On one side, to think about all that he suffered. He was pierced on his side. He was bruised. He was whipped. He was spit on, crown of thorns on his head, nails in his hands and his feet. The cup of God's wrath was poured onto him. But then he was raised again. He was raised back to life. He was raised back to life. And that same power that lives in him now lives in us. He makes us right and holy and perfect in God's sight. Our sins are forgiven. We have this covenant relationship, this partnership with God now. All because of what he did. So the process we typically use, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves, because the Apostle Paul says some people are weak and sick And they die early because they don't examine or judge themselves before taking communion. And if communion has the power to do that in the negative, I believe it also has the power to do the opposite of that in the positive. If we take it in faith, we take it in the fear of the Lord to make us healthy and strong and give us long life. And then after our time of communion, we've been talking about some practical physical workout tips, because I truly believe physical exercise is meant to be an expression of exercising our faith. It can teach us how to receive this grace by faith and to experience God doing the work through us. And then once we understand how to do that, we can apply those same principles into the other areas of our life. So let's get started with our prayer. And then we'll get into our time of communion after that. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. I thank you for releasing us from darkness and transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. And I thank you that Jesus was smitten for us, so that you could fight for us. And I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe, the same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us and to make your face shine upon us. Let us find grace and favor in your eyes. Expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to send us opportunities to do good and be a blessing today, and help us be sensitive to those opportunities. I ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so we're going to go through the other half of prayer. This is where we talk about, are we making today a masterpiece? This is a time to examine ourselves. And remember, masters of anything are just simply masters of the fundamentals. Are we executing these four fundamentals that we talk about regularly and bringing some presence and some fun and some energy into them today? Because we have to have this eternal perspective with God. But that relationship with him has got to be brought down into today to impact the decisions that we make, the things that we do, the things that we speak, the things that we're thinking about throughout the day. So our first step, our first fundamental, let's get positioned in the light today. This is like the on-off switch. Either we're in the light or we're in the darkness. There's no in between. And to be in position helps us to be in position to receive. Helps us to receive all that God has for us. Imagine a quarterback and a receiver, and the receiver runs the wrong way, and the quarterback throws the ball over here. He's at a position he can't receive. So to take our position in the light today, we're going to start with humility. Humility, just humbling ourselves in relationship to God, humbling ourselves in relationship to people. Just humility, simple belief in him. Simple childlike faith and belief in him. Humbling ourselves in relationship to him, because it's the humble who are given grace. It's the humble who are exalted and promoted. And we're going to receive this forgiveness from him. We're going to forgive ourselves in the middle. Stop beating ourselves up and condemning ourselves. And we're going to let that flow through us to other people to give them the same love and grace that God has given us. And we're going to take our position in love today, kind and patient and gentle, always assuming the best, keeping no record of wrongs, delighting in the truth, always hoping, always trusting, always persevering. because love never fails. And we're going to take our position in gratitude and praise today. Just turning up our gratitude and praise for what Jesus has done for us. Just simple belief in him. And when we take our position in the light, we're stepping into Christ. And God has taken everything that he has and he gave it all to Jesus. And we have this amazing opportunity that we get to be in him today. So this day today, God's spirit and power and presence, his love and peace and joy, his mind and wisdom, his health and energy, his purpose, his kingdom, his time and finances is all available today. We have to learn how to get in position to receive this. And then we have to learn how to get it flowing through us. Which leads us to our second fundamental, which is to magnify the light. To magnify is to make bigger or greater. And we're going to expand the capacity where God can flow more of all those good things through us. It also gets this new covenant rooted and established in our hearts. It gives us hearts that understand. So we become more fixed and consistent and immovable when the issues and pressures of life come our way. And to magnify the light, it's all about what we focus on. Where's our focus and attention throughout the day? What are we meditating on? When I think of meditation, I think of constant repetition. What are the things that we're rolling over and over on the inside? You think about it. You probably had some problem before. And the more you think about that problem, the more you meditate on it, the more you roll it over in your mind, it seems like the problem grows bigger on the inside. Well, that same principle works in the positive with the things of God. You begin to magnify him. All that he has for you begins to grow on the inside. So to magnify the light, we can magnify God's word. Be meditating on it and thinking about it and talking about it. To magnify his unfailing love and his faithfulness. His mighty works that nothing's impossible with him. We can magnify our right standing in Christ. We've got peace with God. We've got his blessing and favor on our lives because of what Jesus did. We can magnify every good thing that he put within us. We got this treasure in jars of clay. And just stay focused on all the things that are going well. Looking back at all that God has already done in our lives and realizing that what he started, he's going to finish. He's going to see it through to completion. He's going to sustain it by the power of his word. Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. It's simply choosing not to magnify them. Let's magnify God as bigger than those issues and problems. Let's magnify him instead. But he does give us the choice. He gives us free will. We could choose not to do any of this. We could stay stuck in pride and rebellion, insisting on our own way. Bitterness, unforgiveness, venting, complaining, pouting, magnifying the problems and just toiling away in our own mind over and over and over again. Rather than letting it go and just simply resting and trusting in God. He's with us and he wants to help. And that's where we're going to learn to recognize those symptoms. Because when we're out of position or we're magnifying the wrong things, there's going to be symptoms. There's going to be fruit from that. So when we find ourselves retaliating at people, snapping at people, withholding good things that we know to do because we don't like what someone did to us, we might avoid people or give them the silent treatment. And none of those are the way of unconditional love and grace. On the inside, you'll feel this heaviness and weight and pressure like it's all sitting on you. Might have feelings of hopelessness or helplessness, powerlessness, like you're trapped or you're stuck and it seems like there's no way out. Low energy is another big symptom of this, just being tired and exhausted all the time. I think of it like a black hole that just sucks the energy right out of you. Then emotionally, there's the fear and stress and worry that's just the toil in our mind, the torment in our mind. As we just meditate on the issues and the problems, dread of the future, confusion about which steps to take or which direction to go. But when we take our position in the light, there's this rest in our soul. There's this fullness and completeness in him. And when we rest, God goes to work. And now everything is free and easy and effortless and energizing because his peace and his joy and his love and his energy, his mind and wisdom all just begin to flow through us. And now all of a sudden we've got hope in any and every situation because we've got God with us. And if all this weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace. If we ever get off track, it just takes a moment to turn it right back around and get back into the light again. Because every day life's throwing stuff at us to try to knock us out of position, to try to get us to magnify the wrong things. And sometimes we miss it. But when that happens, we can learn to recognize those symptoms and turn it back around quickly. How do we do it? We start with humility. Father, forgive me. I'm off track right now. I've missed it. We receive that grace and forgiveness from Him. We forgive ourselves in the middle. If we need to say we're sorry to anybody else or reconcile a relationship, we take those steps. And then we just start praising and thanking Him for His grace and His goodness and His love. And that what He put within us is more than enough to handle whatever's coming our way today with beauty and poise and grace. And I like to pray this very simple prayer. Father, thank you that what you put in me is more than enough. Help me tap into it and cultivate it at a greater level and see it flowing at a greater level in my life. You pray that simple prayer, it's like the weight lifts off you. That peace and joy and love and energy just begin to wash over you on the inside. And then our third fundamental. We got to stay tuned in today. Every day, God's trying to teach us and train us and guide us. But we got to stay tuned into Him. My favorite way to do this is with a journal before bed. And we've been talking about lately, installing some filters at the top of our journal. Think of these filters as decisions or commitments that we're making to walk out a new standard in our life, to walk in this new way of living that God has given us. So for example, you might write the short phrase that goes something like this at the top of your journal. God's working continually for my good. And I'm going to do continually good for others. And you write that every night at the top of your journal. And then when you're tempted to worry, you're tempted to magnify those wrong things, you got that reminder. Wait a minute, God's working for my good. I can't see Him doing it, but He's working for my good. When someone pushes your buttons throughout the day and you're tempted to snap at them or retaliate at them or give them the silent treatment, you remember, wait a minute, God's working for my good. He doesn't do that to me. I'm going to love people. I'm going to do continually good for them all the time, even when they push my buttons. And we got that filter to help us remind us and keep us on track throughout the day, to keep us focused on true north, kind of like a compass throughout the day. And I like to start my journal with gratitude and praise to get in position. And then I like to magnify what went well today. What are all the ways I saw God showing up today? Because the more we look for them, the more we see them, the more of them we're going to see. The more we magnify them, the more they grow. And then I like to ask this question, God, what were you trying to show me today? Just get still and listen, reflect back over the day. Whatever comes into my mind, just begin to write that down. It's important to get it out of our heads and onto the paper because it helps us to remember and not forget. And then we got to stay tuned in throughout the day because He's trying to navigate us through the day. If you ever feel like you're losing that connection to Him, just slow down for a minute or two. It doesn't take long. Slow down, get aware of His presence with you. Just get charged up or powered up in Him again. Think of it kind of like plugging in a phone whenever it gets low on batteries. Then the final thing I've learned to do in my journal is to plan out the upcoming day with God. And I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? Because sometimes I was getting out ahead of God. I'm toiling away in my mind, trying to figure everything out, trying to force things to happen ahead of schedule. And I'm getting out ahead of Him. On the other side, sometimes I'm procrastinating on things that I know to do. And I'm getting behind Him. So I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? It just takes so much pressure off as well. What do I know to do today? And that becomes the plan for the day. And then we wake up like a kid on Christmas morning, excited for the day, and we remember this very important principle. The first thing that comes out of our mouth every day sets the tone for the entire day. Just start praising Him and thanking Him. I like to say this. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. Then we get connected to Him and His word, start praising Him and thanking Him, and we start walking out that plan with a willing heart and a good attitude and full confidence in Him. Just that simple childlike faith that just believes He's with us every step of the way. And when we get to that place of that confident faith, this grace begins to surge through us. God begins to go to work. He begins to beautify our lives. And beauty is attractive and magnetic, and it just begins to pull more and more of everything He has for us into our lives. So let's take a look at scriptures on running. Time to run. Like I said, this time of year, right after Easter, it's a time to run. I think of these next 7 weeks leading up to Pentecost as a time of great acceleration. I think of it like a 7-week sprint to the day of Pentecost in a way. So let's take a look at some of these scriptures. Then we're going to take communion over this, asking for God's help to run this race that he set before us and to run it the right way. Hebrews 12, 1, verse 3 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us. And how are we going to do it? We're going to fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So we're going to run with perseverance. How? By fixing our eyes on him, so that we don't grow weary. Galatians 5, verses 7 through 9. The Apostle Paul says to the people, you were running a good race. So they got started. They're running. You were running a good race. But who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little bit of yeast works through the whole batch of dough. So we just had a couple days ago, the Feast of Unleavened Bread started. We're still in it right now, in the 7 days of unleavened bread, where the people were to remove all yeast, to clean out their old ways. And if you study this passage of scripture, you'll see what was it was happening. The people were trying to earn their righteousness. They're trying to do things like be circumcised, to be right with God, to have a covenant with God. And the Apostle Paul is saying, who's cutting in on you? They forgot that our righteousness comes from Jesus. Fixing our eyes. How do we run with perseverance and not get off track? Fixing our eyes on Jesus. He is our righteousness. We've got a couple more scriptures here. Isaiah 40, verses 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Now notice the connection here. Running and not growing weary. Running and not getting off track. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 26. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, and I like this phrase here, therefore I do not run like someone running aimlessly. Someone running aimlessly. They got no purpose. They got no vision or direction or goal that they're shooting for. Go into strict training to reach this prize and this goal. Habakkuk 2:2. And the Lord answered me, write the vision and make it plain on tablets so that he may run who reads it. So we see some things here. We're supposed to run this race with perseverance. How do we persevere? We fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher, perfecter of our faith. We fix our eyes on him. That's how we stay persistent and good endurance, by keeping our eyes fixed on him so we don't grow weary. We stay fixed on him and we run in such a way with vision and purpose to get the prize. To get the prize that God has for us. So we're going to take communion over this, just asking for God's help. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for you. We're thankful for this Easter season, the feasts of Passover and unleavened bread and first fruits, all these reminders. We've been released from darkness. We've been transferred into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. This reminder to clean out our old ways, that Jesus is our righteousness. And to embrace this new way of living, this resurrected life, this new way of living that has purpose and meaning for our lives. And we're asking for your help today, Lord. Help us run the way you designed us to run. Help us to run this race and keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, to run and not grow weary, and to run in such a way that we get the prize. Just a clear vision and purpose. We're asking for your help with these things today, Lord. And we thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Just take a minute to just remember all that he went through on the cross. The cup of God's wrath was poured onto him. By his stripes, we've been healed, pierced on his side, bruised, whipped, spit on, nails in his hands and feet. But then he rose again, came back to life, and he's connected us back to God. We can be right and holy and perfect in God's sight. Our sins are forgiven. We can have this covenant relationship with God. I don't believe this running is meant to be done on our own. It's meant to be done in partnership with God. He's got a purpose and a vision and a plan for each of our lives to give meaning to our lives. So, Father, we thank you for this bread and just all that it represents. We ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. Then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. In my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." It's that forgiveness of sins that brings us into the light. We can have this covenant relationship with him. This personal relationship with him. And that's what it's all about. So, Father, we thank you for this cup. And ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have a juice, you can take your juice. All right. Let's talk about some health and fitness stuff. Let's talk about running. Running. One of the easiest ways to implement running into your health and fitness is we have it in our daily communion workouts. If you don't have the workouts, you go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com, and on the emails that go out with the daily communion meditations, there'll be a workout attached to them. And one of the ways we implement running on there is it doesn't have to be running. We talk about 50 seconds of any cardio. But a good cardio to implement in there is running. A 50-second run. Why 50 seconds? Think of 50 seconds like a snapshot. If you can run further in 50 seconds, I almost guarantee you can run a faster mile. You can run a faster 5K, probably a faster marathon. If you just get better in 50 seconds, it's like a snapshot. And one of the most valuable things I've learned about cardio stuff is that whenever you get better at shorter time intervals, it almost always causes better times and performance at the longer intervals. But the reverse is not true. So get faster at the shorter intervals. And one of the goals in our health and fitness is just to be able to move like a kid. And I'm just thinking right now, we've been out and about and a little bit with our family. It seems like the kids are always running. Just thinking, we're out going to stores and stuff, and they're trying to take off running. Kids like to run. And restoring that ability to move like children. Again, the children have the secret so many times. Think about, they had an Easter egg hunt yesterday, and they just take off running out looking for eggs. Kids love to run. Something we need to restore back into our lives. But I hope this has been helpful for you today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.